Paul. It's truly, it's a pleasure to be here. And thank you, Ben. And thank you, all of you. I truly cannot write 5-word poems. So you already have my deep admiration. And it's a humbling experience to be here as part of the series. Maybe even more humbling coming after one's wife. That was a fine reading. Okay, let's see. Not much you need to know. I'm going to try to not talk too much in between poems. I'm only going to read for 20 minutes. But a lot of what I write about is pretty on the surface of the poems. But in terms of, I thought I would open up with this poem because it kind of gives you a sense of where the music comes from. And this is, it's fitting that Dee Dee mentioned Gwendolyn Brooks, who was a huge influence on me as a poet, American poet. So much so that I wrote in my second book a 75-page letter poem to her, of which I'll open up. I'm reading tonight with a part of it, not all 7 pages, of course, but just a small excerpt. O Orpheus, grant the skills to stir the dead, like Kanye mixing music with fire, spitting souls through wires. Let me chauffeur the true and living through muck and mire. Rescue the underground so they aim higher. Grant the gift to chisel words like the beers. Let words dangle verbal gems for their ears. I put a premium on rhymes. How could I not live in the times of the super MCs, where styles are deaf and lyrics fly, tight the way our minds move over beats and grooves. Our brain matters amp mic check so we non-stop. My spirit fills echoes thanks to hip-hop. I thought to send this note to Tupac, then wondered if he's there with you. Rumor has it he's far from dead, that in fact he lives like Asada in Cuba, having fled death row. His mask consumes us still, a rapper shot, a martyr is born, sad not the man but the image we mourn. A cafeteria was all one needed, a beatbox firm as the heart, we'd begin a flow. Spitting rhymes that superseded our teacher's verdict. Dim-witted children will never taste Marchand de Vin. So rap's dawning was the earth's reality to give a sound to a collective necessity couched in that we of the real always keeping it. Those hallway leanings, that attitude, no grace, that much future you heard. That sugar on the hill ganging up airwaves, those public enemy freedom phrases, those Boogie Downs and Big Daddy Canes, those diggable planets and Afro names, that Rakim and Mr. Eric B, or disposable heroes of hypocrisy, that Salt and Pepper and Roxanne Roxanne, West Coast Coolio and Fisted X Clans, those questing tribes spitting concertos of the desperados, but the boom baps done gone jiggy, and every other word is ho or niggy, nigga. Still all the same, one frame of the nation spells hunger, and like a straw to the brain, video poison normalizes the game. So our children learn to point guns, thus we need life like the Fugees needed Lauren. My other son is here, my youngest, Romy, who's 14, and he asked me to read a poem to you. I guess it's his favorite poem. It's one of my favorites, too. That helps. It's about a guy, when I was growing up, who used to walk around the streets like he was driving a car. He didn't have a car, but he walked around the streets like he was driving a car. come off some kind of crazy. It doesn't matter if you can't see Steve's Corvette, turquoise colored, plush purple rims, gold trim rims that make little stars in your eyes as if the sun is kneeling, kissing the edge of sanity. Like a Baptist preacher stroking the dark underside of God's wet tongue, he can make you believe it's there. His scuffed wingtips, ragged, shuffling concrete, could be 10-inch Firestone wheels. His vocal cords fake an 8-cylinder engine that wags like a dog's tail as he shifts gears. Imagine Steve, moonstruck, cool, turning right onto Ridge Avenue, arms forming arcs, his hands a set of stiff C's, overthrowing each other's rule, his lithe body and head snapping back, pushing a stick shift into fourth, whizzing past Uncle Sam's pawn shop, past the stop and go. Only he knows his destination, his limits. Can you see him? Imagine Steve, moonstruck, cool, parallel parking between the Pacer and the Pinto. Obviously the most hip, backing up, head over right shoulder, one hand spinning as if polishing a dream. And there's Tina, wanting to know what makes a boy tick, wanting a one-way trip to the stars. We the faithful never call him crazy, crack-brained, just a little touched. It's all he ever wants. A car, a girl, a community of believers. Why I write poetry. Because my son is as old as the stars. Because I have no blessings. Because I hold tangerines like orange tennis balls. Because I sit alone and welcome morning across the unshaved jaws of my lawn. Because the houses on my street sleep like turtles. Because the proper weight of beauty was her eyes last night, beneath my eyes last night. Because the red goblet from which I drank made even water a Faustian toast. Because radishes should be banned, little pellets that they are. Because someone says it's late and begins to rise from a chair. Because life is ordinary unless you plan and set in motion a war. Because I have not thanked enough. Because my lips moisten whenever I hear Mingus's goodbye pork pie head. Because I plant winter vegetables in July. Because I could say the morning died like candle wax and no one would question its truth. Because I relish being sent into the coat room in third grade where alone I would turn off the lights and run my hand over my classmates' coats as if playing tag with their bodies. Because once I shoplifted a pair of Hawaiian shorts and was caught at the Gallery Mall. Because soup reminds me of the warmth of my grandmother and old aunts, because the long coast of my dreams is filled with poems, is filled with saxophones and poems. Because somewhere, someone is buying a Rolex. Because I wish I could speak three different languages, but have to settle for the language of business and commerce. Because I used to wear paisley shirts and herringbone sports jackets, because I better get it in my soul. Because my grandfather loved clean syntax, Stacy Adams shoes, cologne, Irish tweed caps, and women, but not necessarily in that order. Because I think the elderly are sexy and the young are naive and brutish. Because a vision of trees only comes to wise women and men who can fix old watches. Because a vision of trees only comes to wise women. This is why you should never look up from the page. You wind up repeating yourself. Because I write with a pen whose supply of ink comes from the sea. Because gardens are fun to visit in the evenings when everyone has put away their coats and sores. Because I still do not eat corporate French fries. Because punctuation is my jury and the moon is my judge. Because my best friend in fourth grade chased city buses from corner to corner. His father could not stop looking up at the sky after his return from the war. Because parataxis is just another way of making ends meet. Because I have been on a steady diet of words since the age of 3. I will preface this one by saying that I was short and scrawny as a kid, and my grandfather would occasionally teach me how to fight if ever I found myself in that situation. Fortunately, I had the gift of gab. I can always say a quick word or two and run. The gift of running. A grandfather's lecture. If punched, you punch twice as hard. And in the face, right in the nose. Use the flat counter of your fist or the palm's hard ridge. Lean into it, but brace your stroke with your back leg, then lift your whole blow into his mug. He'll crumble. If you're lucky, blood will pour in rivulets down his mouth and chin, leaving him startled, dazed like the newly awakened. Don't relent. Think what he'd do to you if given the chance. Throw what we used to call a haymaker. Nest fear inside, but don't tremble. Don't parade and prance like your Ali. Don't hesitate. Land a jawbreaker. Jab him in the gut. Did you know the brown bomber never televised a hit? Never reared back, just snuggled in like a lover, leaned close, shoulder to shoulder, calmer than most, and kapow to the ribs, like it did Smelly, who struggled on the ropes. Life's no boxing ring, but know your power, what your shadow is made of. Then always make up, just to show your adversary you've got class. Don't tower over him. That's for punks. Extend a hand. Help him up. Okay, I have three more poems. Now I'll be done here. If you are reading with your wife, you should always read a love poem. Question, which one? This is a Obad. It rhymes. You could be home boiling a pot of tea as you sit on your terrace, reading up on last night's soccer shot beneath the scarf of Saris. You could be diving headlong into the waves of Cocoa Beach, or teaching Mao Tse Tung, whose theories are easy to reach, or dropping off your dry cleaning, making the new Americans wealthier, or mowing your lawn, greening up, but isn't this healthier? Just imagine the hours you're not squandering away, nor the ant-like minutes frittered with a tentative fiancé. Your whole body agrees, you'd rather lie here like a snail. In my arms, crook, nude, and oblivious to all your emails. Yes, it's nearly 1 o'clock, but we have more reasons to kiss, to engage in small talk. For one, these blissful seasons are short and tomorrow is never insured. So bounce downstairs, pour us glasses of whatever. a tray of crackers, Bosch pears. Then let drop your sarong, the wind high on your skin, so we can test all day long the notion of original sin. My children's inheritance. I'm a poet, so it won't be much. My children's inheritance. A fancy for high green hills by a sea. Baggy spaces in the day. A knack for gunpowder thinking. A library humming like a swarm of gnats. The intrigue of a woman with a pitch-perfect mind. Blinking eyes whose silence is ancient and naked, a grave that is not a grave but a ruin to visit in middle age. A chiffon robe of half-empty cologne bottles in various colors and dried flowers more dignified than death. Both evidence that I once cherished bouquets and timelessness. Bullet casings, a bowl of seashells, fine pins, one the Aurora Diamante with its two-tone rhodium plating that glitters when my right hand rages toward heaven. A love of big plates of spaghetti, Argentinian folk music, African rainforests, and the speeches of Lincoln that miss the pages of my books more than my doorways. A habit for dancing when beats drop like existential stones. A disregard for the enemies of linnets and macaws, fears that match the hawk-haunted buttes out west. A hard desire for justice. The habit of lip biting when trouble nears. The way my mouth opens like a flower, leaving the animals to bear witness. Memories of laughter that was bread and water. A collection of radios, stacks of vinyl, the limitation of secrets, long nights cascading like waterfalls, my madness granular and complex, sealed like a footfall. And this is my last poem. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being a fine audience. This is called On Disappearing. I have not disappeared. The boulevard is full of my steps. The sky is full of my thinking. An archbishop prays for my soul, even though we met only once, and even then he was busy waving at a congregation. The ticking clocks in Vermont sway back and forth as though sweeping up my eyes and my tattoos and my metaphors. And what comes up are the great paragraphs of dust which also carry motes of my existence. I have not disappeared. My wife quivers inside a kiss. My pulse was given to her many times in many countries. The chunks of bread we dip in olive oil is communion with our ancestors who also have not disappeared. Their delicate songs I wear on my eyelids. Their smiles have given me freedom, which is a crater I keep falling in. When I bite into the two halves of an orange whose cross-section resembles my lungs, a delta of juices bursts down my chin and like magic makes me appear to those who think I've disappeared. It's too bad war makes people disappear like chess pieces, and that prisons turn prisoners into movie endings. When I fade into the mountains on a forest trail, I still have not disappeared, even though its green facade turns my arms and legs into branches of oak. It is then I belong to a southerly wind, which by now you have mistaken as me nodding back and forth like a Hasid in prayer, or mother who has just lost a son to gunfire in Detroit. I have not disappeared. In my children, I see my bulging face pressing further into the mysteries. In the library in Tucson, on a plane above Buenos Aires, on a field where nearby burns a controlled fire. I'm held by a professor, a general, and a photographer. One burns a finely wrapped cigar, then sniffs the scented pages of my books, scouring for the bitter smell of control. I hold him in my mind like a chalice. I have not disappeared. When we talk about limits, we disappear. In Jasper, Texas, you can disappear on a strip of gravel. I am a life in sacred language. Termites toil over a grave, and my mind is a ravine of yesterdays. At a glance from across the room, I wear September on my face, which is eternal and does not disappear. Even if you close your eyes once and for all, simultaneously, like two coffins.
Thank you, Major. We're going to go for a 10-minute break, but before we go for the break, I'm going to read the announcements. The donation jar is on its way around, so any donations are very much appreciated. Next week's guest poet is Celia Dufresne. Celia Dufresne, see you next week. The Five Words International Poetry Competition for the week from 11th to the 18th of July. The Five Words, and this is, you're getting them before they're announced online. They are doppelganger, subtle, swept, follow, and apoplectic. So doppelganger, subtle, swept, follow, and apoplectic. The Socken Rod, the spoken word, are hosting a special event for Ovail on Tuesday, 25th of July. So there's a special event for Ovail being hosted by Spoken Word on Tuesday the 25th of July. Is that being hosted in Clonakilty? This is happening in Clonakilty. It's for our Cork County Turning Exchange. Yeah? Cork Coventry Exchange. It's a Cork Coventry Exchange. If you'd like to be part of this event, you can sign up here. You can talk to Paul and sign up if you'd like to read at the event, or if you need a lift to the event, or if you have a car. Like, so we're going to organise that tonight. So talk to Paul and we'll arrange all that. That's on the 25th of July. We're going to have a 10-minute break and then we'll be back with the open mic. But before we go, can we have another big round of applause, please, for TV Jackson and Andrew Jackson.